Jerry Bader Show, 10:36. Sunday was, I don't know how you describe it, the mid-season finale of Mad Men. I would just say it was the season finale. This has been billed as the final season of Mad Men. Really, it's not. There were 14 episodes remaining when this began in April. There are now 7 remaining. What they've done is split it into season 7 and 8, but they're still calling it season 7 and just saying it resumes in 2015. Now, I do believe that it's already in the can, that it's entirely produced, is my understanding. I think I'm right about that. So the first 7 episodes aired April, May this year, and then spring 2015, they are going to conclude the series. A couple of things. I was mistaken. I said that Megan Draper maybe headed to the Manson murders, and I said they were in July. They were in August. They were not the week before my birthday. They were the week after my birthday. A listener corrected me on that. Based on what happened Sunday, we still don't know whether that's going to be the case. Sunday's episode took place the week of the Apollo 11 moon landing and culminated with man landing on the moon and the national pride that moment instilled when our country was being torn apart at the seams. And I think they captured it very, very well. There's going to be a spoiler alert here. If you are watching Mad Men, if you're in season whatever and you're catching up, you're not going to want to hear this. Okay? This is a major spoiler alert. People say I don't give enough warning. I don't know how much more warning I can give. This is a major spoiler alert for Mad Men. If you're catching up on Mad Men, you're not going to want to hear this. Here's the 10 count. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Again, major spoiler alert for Mad Men. It ends with us uncertain whether Don has lost his mind. Watching the moon landing, Bert Cooper, co-founder of Sterling Cooper, along with Roger's dad, sees Neil Armstrong walk on the moon, says, "Bravo," and dies. Don and Roger maneuver a way to keep Don in the agency by being bought out by McCann Erickson, which is seen as the evil empire of advertising agencies. So they vote. Bert's dead. They vote to have Don stay with the agency. Don walks back to his office, and from behind him he hears, "Don, my boy," and it's the dead Bert Cooper, who does a song and dance with ladies in the office and then disappears. Don has no idea what's going on. It goes to black right there. Really? Really? Don's been coming off the rails for 2 years at least. That's where it ends. By the way, one more spoiler. He and Megan split. I'm fascinated to see where this winds down. Anyway, on to something else. Last week, there was one of those moments where Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban made comments about bigotry in an interview. Many believe this was comparable to Donald Sterling's comments. Of course, Cuban, another owner, and he could get in trouble for racist comments. Now, I must tell you that I misinterpreted his comments initially, and I want to make a correction on that. What Cuban said is, if he saw a young black man in a hoodie coming at him, he would cross the street. But if he saw a white bald kid with tats all over his body, he'd cross the street as well. I misinterpreted initially to him saying he would prefer the white kid with tats. But be that as it may, Cuban admitted that he has prejudices. That if he saw the kid in a hoodie, he would, a black kid in a hoodie, he would cross the street being nervous, but he would also cross the street if it was a young white kid bald with tats. Stephen A. Smith, black sports commentator, defended Cuban. And he defended Cuban because he said everybody was dropping off the second part. Everybody's saying he would cross the street to get away from a black kid in a hoodie, but nobody is mentioning that he said he would do the same thing for a young white, bald, you know, skinhead with tats all over his body. So on Thursday, Stephen Smith was vilified by blacks, called a sellout, Uncle Tom, you're not really black. If you follow Stephen A. Smith at all, you know he's no big conservative by any stretch of the imagination. He thought Mark Cuban was being treated unfairly. He fired back on Friday. I've got about 3 minutes of it here. This is about half of it, but I think this gives you the gist. Jason, go ahead.
Stephen A. Smith is a sellout. Stephen A. Smith's an Uncle Tom. Stephen A. Smith ain't black. You ain't one of us. These are the kind of things that were said to me yesterday. Twitter, emails, you know, friends didn't say that to me. What they did was they called up and tried to talk to me to challenge me on my points of view. Those that are in my inner circle, family, friends, loved ones, they know that I have nothing but love for them, and I appreciate where they're coming from. But when I say I don't give a damn, I can't even emphasize that. That doesn't know justice. I stand by everything that I said yesterday, tenfold, a hundredfold. And I don't care who in the black community disagrees with me. I'm not interested in their disagreement on this particular issue because they're not looking at the bigger picture here. Mark Cuban, in the same breath that he talked about walking across the street from a black dude in a hoodie, followed that up by talking about the white dude who's bald-headed with tats all over his face and his body and what have you. Everybody wants to ignore that in our community. I want to say everybody because I'm not speaking for everybody. I'm just talking about the people that communicated with me, which were in the hundreds yesterday. I'm totally exhausted. I can't believe I'm up for this show with as many conversations I've had to have about this yesterday get on my damn nerves. But the thing about it is that all of those folks ignored the part that he said about the white guy, because we want to pounce on him making this statement and alluding to black folks or talking about somebody in a hoodie that happens to be black and how he'd walk across the street. He talked about the prejudices that exist in all spectrums by all of us. Are we going to sit here and literally act like we don't have any prejudices? Like we don't feel certain way about certain people or certain people's appearances and how it makes us raise our antennas? Am I going to sit here and tell you that if at night and I saw, you know, a couple of white dudes with tats all over their body and their head or whatever, and I'm going to feel comfortable with that, I'm not going to raise an eyebrow? Would I be telling the truth? Particularly if I was in some place like Mississippi or Idaho, not to knock those folks, but you hear where I'm coming from in terms of, you know, sometimes how black folks feel uncomfortable in certain areas geographically in our nation. I mean, this is just a reality, okay? And so as a result of it, you don't do harm to anybody. You don't inflict harm or pain towards anybody else, but does it raise your antennas and makes you a bit suspicious? Sure it does. So what
I found that very interesting. Here's what he's defending Cuban over. Sure, he's prejudiced. We all are. What he's really calling the black community out for is saying, look, you're not admitting your own prejudices, that everybody's radar tends to go up under certain circumstances. And that Mark Cuban was just being intellectually honest. Yeah, if he sees a black kid in a hoodie, he gets nervous. If he sees a white kid, skinhead with tats, he gets nervous. Stephen A. Smith, look, if I'm walking in a certain area, and I think geography is important here, that's going to make me nervous. What he's saying is, we're all bigots. We all prejudge people, and we all get nervous and fidgety. White people do it with black people. Black people do it with white people. Some white people do it with some white people. I don't know that I agree with him. I don't flinch the minute I see a black person. Some people do. I accept that. I don't flinch the minute I see a black person in a hoodie. Was he wearing a hoodie? I don't even remember. He might have been. In some parts of this country, I know he said that. But I don't, even then though, Cuban didn't. Here's what I'm saying. Now, are there certain areas at night where I'm going to be on guard irrespective of who comes walking my way? Yes. Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I am. What I'm saying is, okay, here. Jerry, suppose a lone black male was walking down the street and he saw four guys in Klan garb approaching and he crossed the road. Is that racist? No, because the Klan is an actual threat. Not all black people are threats. The Klan, by their nature, is racist. Someone in a hoodie is not necessarily a danger, black, white, or otherwise. So walking the dog yesterday, I will tell you, I'll be honest, a black person walking by my house is uncommon. I didn't think twice about it. I said, good morning. It's a younger guy. It was warm. I'm sure he wasn't wearing a hoodie. See, I don't even remember, though. That's my point. I think one way that you can read Stephen A. Smith's reaction is, look, we're all prejudiced. I don't know that I agree with that. If you have anything to say about this, 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Don't have a lot of time, though. It's 1048. I can't sleep and there's nothing left to eat. All I want to do is just play some more. I want what more. All things Jerry Bader. JerryBaderShow.com.